welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
This morning, we want to pay tribute and give glory to God. It's Christmas time. What a wonderful time of the year. And you know, during the puppets, they were saying about talking about asking, you know, asking the kids, well, have you asked for something? And last week we were talking about asking and seeking and knocking, and Matthew 7 talks about asking and you will receive, seeking and you will find, knocking and the door will be open to you. So what are you asking for this Christmas? You know, what are we asking for? And we're going to just share a wee word, and we'll just talk about asking and seeking and knocking. And I want to talk about the wise men. I also want to talk about the shepherds and just see and focus in on them a little bit this Christmas. Just focus in a wee bit about their message, what was communicated to them, and how they unveil the Christmas story to us through Scripture. But before I do, I'm just going to tell you a little story. This is a story about a young boy around about 7, and he was a pretty keen artist. He loved to draw pictures. It reminds me of Nathaniel at Christmas time. At Christmas time, well, any other time of the year, Nathaniel, when he was younger, and he didn't do art, he didn't do anything craft related, but come Christmas, he had all this craft. He had all of these utensils and things for creating pictures, and our room and windows were covered in Santas and sledges and everything, and he loved the Christmas to do drawings and pictures and everything else. So like the 7-year-old boy in the story, he drew this picture of the Nativity. So you had the obvious things in the Nativity. You had the wise men. You had the shepherds. You had the manger. And you had the baby Jesus. All, you had a few sheep. And, you know, you had the usual setting for the Nativity scene. But off to the right in the corner, there was a picture of like a really big, let's say, a fat man in the corner, kind of out of place. Why was he in the Nativity scene? And when he was asked about, who's this big guy in the corner? And the response from the young fellow was, oh, him? That's Round John Virgin. Okay. So Round John Virgin made it into the Nativity scene. You know, when we tell stories and when we send a message, the more clearer the message is, the better job it is going to be. It's going to make an impact in your life. And sometimes messages can be ambiguous. They can be confusing. They could be twisted and just not clean, not clear. It's ciphered. It's encrypted. And sometimes it's just, it comes out wrong. And then he got 90% of the Nativity scene right, but Round John Virgin, I'm not sure if he belonged in the corner of that Nativity scene, but he made it in there. So trip pay, well done. So we have to be clear on what the message is at Christmas time. We need to be able to convey it, maybe in a picture, great, if you're artistic, but even just to communicate and talk to our friends, our family, our kids. What is the true meaning? What is Christmas all about? And we're just going to revisit some of our favorite scriptures at Christmas time, only for a short while, and talk about this message, this clear message of Christmas. Amen? So let's turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. We'll take the time to read the passage because we haven't had a carol service this year for obvious reasons. We'd love to. We would have normally. And we would go through all these readings and spend time and just remind ourselves. So I'm just going to take the time and just read through these wonderful passages of Scripture. And we're breaking in at chapter 2, verse 1, and we're focusing in just right now on the wise men. So the wise men, right, we call them the wise men. They've got lots of different names. People call them the three kings. They're also known as the Magi. They were a very learned people, a very well-educated people, very wealthy people, people of high esteem, well-known and sophisticated for their day, probably wielded quite a lot of influence among the region and regions of Arabia, okay? And so these people were not just New Kids on the Block, they had substance. They knew what they were talking about, and they had, let me say, they were highly esteemed in the region. So these are, I mean, so much so, we don't know a lot of exact details about them. The Bible talks about three of them. We don't think there were three. It would suggest that there would be a lot more than three of these wise men. Why? Because, well, the three probably comes from the three gifts that were brought, you know, the frankincense and myrrh and the gold. But there were likely a lot more than three, right? There were a whole tribe, a whole grouping of these magi, these very educated, very understanding, people who were well versed in all things astronomy, astrology, and even the mystical. And they carried with them all this wealth. So they probably, when they arrived in Jerusalem, it was probably a lot more than three people. We should expect, we're talking about like a caravan of people with servants and guards and entourage, and all of that came with this grouping of magi that were out for a purpose and arrived in Jerusalem just after the birth of Jesus. So we're going to break in chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this, thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you are Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, that when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Yeah, it will stop there. So, interestingly, in verse 2, it says, "Where is he?" They came, the wise men, just like our kids today, they've asked, "What am I getting for Christmas? What is around the corner? What happens at Christmas time?" They came into Jerusalem. Notice they didn't come to worship Herod. They did. If they were indeed kings, some speculate that perhaps they were kings. Kings in Yemen at that time were thought to be Jewish. So there's some speculation that these wise men could have been actual kings. We don't know for sure. But what we do know for sure is that these men were men of substance. They were men of wealth, men of knowledge, men of power, men of influence. So they have now come. They've arrived in Jerusalem. They haven't arrived in Jerusalem with all of their credentials in order to be served. They haven't arrived with their entourage in order to be respected and to have tribute paid to them. You know, when a king or someone of influence goes into a different domain, they expect to be treated a certain way. They go and they pay honor and homage to perhaps that incumbent king, whoever that would be. In this case, it's King Herod. But nowhere in the scripture do we see the wise men or the three kings, however you want to term them, come to Jerusalem and bow or fall on their knees and worship Herod. They came, I wouldn't say they were at a pier, but let's say they came, they would have paid their respects, but they didn't come to honor Herod. They didn't come to worship Herod. They didn't come to bow before Herod. They came with a question. "Where is he who has been born the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." The wise men, probably some of the wisest men on the planet at that time, had a question. They were asking and they were seeking the Savior. They were looking for something. It was significant. It was significant to them, and they were asking the question, and they were seeking for the truth, and they had an agenda. Let's call it an agenda. They were going to worship him. Well, that's what the Bible says. However that was, they were going to work. They were going to worship this Savior, and they were searching for him. So they came with that. They came with that ask, and they came seeking. You know, God, whilst they came with a question, they came seeking. It was God who revealed himself to them. Isn't that interesting? You know, in John 15, 16, the Bible says, I did not choose you, or you did not choose me, but I have chosen you. The Bible says in Matthew, that or in Luke, that I have come to seek and save the lost. Isn't it interesting, though, that the wise men have come asking and seeking? They haven't done that out of their own accord. They haven't suddenly arrived at some idea and said, let's go and do this. No, you see, God has reached down to man at this point, and he's actually communicated a message, an unambiguous message to the wise men. Yes, he talked to them in a language that they would understand. He talked to them through the sciences. He talked them through a very complex computation that they had to jump through these hoops in order to arrive at some knowledge or some idea that there was a Messiah, a significant birth taking place. Royalty was being born in Bethlehem around this time. They were so convicted of this through their understanding and through their knowledge and through how God has chosen to reveal himself to these wise men. Through ancient transcripts, through science, through the stars, maybe even mystical. Maybe even God's used the mystical to reach these people through their cultural background. I don't know. But God has reached down to these wise men, and he's painted a picture of the Savior in such a way that they made a decision. I'm going to leave all my important affairs. We're going to leave our life. We're going to pack up the caravan train, and we're heading in search of our Savior. We are making a decision. We are leaving our place of influence. We're leaving all of our trappings and all of our wealth, and we're going to go in search of the Savior. You see, God had reached down to the wise men through their language and at their point of need, and in their way, only that they could understand. God has communicated their need for a Savior, not only their need for a Savior, but how to find him. You see, God is interested in you, and he reaches you first. Don't think you're somebody that is asking and seeking all by yourself. God has reached now to mankind, and he has put the subject matter in your heart. The Bible says in Romans 1 that we all carry the innate knowledge of a creator God. It is in every one of us, even the deepest sinner, even the strongest atheist. There is a part of that person's DNA that knows there is a God. They might deny it till their dying breath, but part of their DNA shouts and screams, there is a creation, the creator God. His name is Jesus, and he is the Savior of the world. That's a fact. You can choose to believe it. You can choose to deny it, but that's part of our DNA. And that's why every culture under the sun is reaching and groping out for some sense of understanding and some sense of grappling with this idea of a spiritual realm. Many have it wrong. Many have tried in earnest, but they've just missed the mark. Jesus is the only way. He's the truth and the life, and he came down at Christmas time. Isn't it wonderful? It's a wonderful story. So God was able to reach down to these wise men. And isn't it interesting that he used, well, we're assuming here that he used the stars and he used all these formulas and science. It doesn't sound very religious, does it? It doesn't sound very traditional. And sometimes we can get stuck in our religion, stuck in the methodology of how you reach people. That the only way that they're going to hear from God is if you do this, then you do this, and then you do this. You see, the way God reached to the wise men was not through just religion. It was not just the Jewish way of doing things that in that day. He reached them through their language and at their point of need. So they packed up their lives, they relinquished all of their present responsibilities, and they headed for Jerusalem. That's a big task. That's a big decision. Now flick over with me to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look at another story, and we're going to look at it in contrast to the wise men, and it's the shepherds, all right? And we know this, and we love this story. We love the shepherds. We'll read a few here. We'll not read the whole thing. We'll break in at verse 8 of chapter 2. And it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you that you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." So we see quite a different story here of the shepherds. Now we see that the way... Okay, so we talked about the wise men, how God must have revealed himself, and he actually reached down to the wise men or to mankind in a very, very different way that God has revealed himself to the shepherds. You see, with the shepherds, we're talking about people who would have been a very lowly people, okay, very humble people. They probably didn't have a lot. They probably were quite poor, certainly weren't well off. They lacked influence. They were probably the lowest or the bottom rung of society, certainly in that day. So they didn't really carry with them great influence or clout or substance like the wise men. In fact, I would go as far as to say these people were uneducated. They probably didn't read or write. They probably didn't really have any understanding of numbers and maths and science. They probably just enjoyed the pretty stars as they looked up, whereas the wise men understood all the stars and the signs of the heavens. The shepherds were just enjoying, "Hey, look at that funny-looking star heading toward Bethlehem. I haven't seen a shooting star like that before." And so their understanding was very different. And so the communication that God chose to communicate through to the shepherds was very, very different to the wise men. It was big bright lights. It was completely clear text. It was completely unambiguous. There was no hoops to jump through. There was no formula. Let's read it. It couldn't be any clearer. The message was so clear. "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people.'" You see, we have an angel speaking in clear text. All they had to do is look and listen. The message was so clear. And that was for a reason, because God was choosing to honor these people by revealing himself to them, making in clear text, making it obvious. There was no uncertainty. It was clear and it was sure. And they didn't have to calculate. They didn't have to jump through any hoops. There were no formulas. It was clearly understood. You see, God was dealing with the whole opposite end of the spectrum. And he used just clear means to communicate the birth of Jesus Christ. And they were equally so exciting. So the message communication style was very, very different. But look, the result was the same. It was the same result. We see that the wise men, they stopped everything. They traveled afar. They probably were traveling for weeks, if not months. They came from, people say they came from maybe Iraq or Iran or even further east. So that wasn't, there were no supersonic jets, no Concorde in those days. That was a whole event that probably took months of planning as well as actual traveling. The shepherds get it a little bit easy. They get the flashing lights, they get the angels, they get the choir, they get the entertainment, as it were, but they get a clear text, a clear message, no encryption, unambiguous, nothing to cipher or decipher, and they could just go straight to Bethlehem. The result was the same. They said, let us go. Let us go and search for this child. Let us go and find out for ourselves what the angels have said, and off they went. But they had to do this, the exact same thing. They left their sheep, they left the flocks, and they left in search of the truth. They left in search for the Savior. Amen? So you see, in verse 10 it says, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Jesus came for the richest amongst us, the most educated, the most wealthy, to the very least amongst us. And I'm using those words cautiously because I believe all people are equal in the sight of God. We judge ourselves more important than others often. Oh, he's somebody of substance. This person is, you know, he's a down and out, or he's homeless. And you have your perceived, preconceived ideas. However we judge one another, wherever you fall on that spectrum of society, God has promised, he says, I have come to be for all people, for all of the spectrum. Wherever you land in that spectrum, you could be here this morning and you could have everything has just fallen in place for your life seemingly. But if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't received Jesus, I want to say you're as lost as the person who has nothing. For it all accounts for nothing. It's like the box, the shiny box that was opened earlier. It's all wrapper and there's no substance. Amen. We need Jesus, and Jesus has come for all of us, for all mankind, for the least to the greatest. No one is without exception. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. We all need a Savior. They understood it. They were in search of a Savior. That Savior is also the Christ, the chosen one. The Lord, Savior, the Christ, and the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. There's the two extreme types, two very different ways of communication. But for each party, the message was clear. There's a clear message this morning. Jesus, he is the Savior of the world. He came to seek you first and to save the lost. We're so often caught up in our own ministries at times, in our own agenda. And sometimes we talk about asking and seeking. If you're truly asking and seeking this morning for the Savior or to find out more, then I want to go a step further and say, God has already put that in your heart. God is already drawing you. See, it says in Jeremiah 31 verse 3, it says, the Lord has appeared of old. This is way back in the Old Testament now. The Lord has appeared of old to me. That also translates from afar off. Okay. Saying, yes, I have loved you. The message to you this morning, shouting and screaming from the Old Testament, is I love you. And even yes, and yes, I love you with an everlasting love. Therefore, this is the heart of Jesus. Out of that loving kindness, out of my loving kindness, what does it say? I have drawn you. You know, if you're asking and seeking this morning, don't let it be a surprise to you. God is reaching you. God is drawing you this morning. It goes on in chapter 31, verse 33. It says, but this is talking about the new covenant, which is to come. in the birth of Jesus. But this is the covenant that I will make with you, the house of Israel, after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin and remember their sin no more. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a heartbeat this morning. It's one of redemption. I know we talk that more along those lines at Easter time, but we celebrate this morning. We celebrate Christmas and the birth of Jesus because it's our redemptive story. Jesus came to seek, to save the lost, and he's drawing you this morning. If you're not here, or if you're here and you're not saved, you've never given your life to the Lord. Okay, you may have reasons. You may have roadblocks in your life. You may have a blockage that says, no, that's not for me. I can't do that. There's another side, and you can't deny it, that says, there must be something. There must be something. That something is Jesus Christ. He's your Savior. He is the Christ, and he is Lord. The message of Christmas is real. We need a Savior. He's revealed himself to you. He has already revealed himself, just like he did with the wise men, just like he did with the shepherds, in a very contrasting manner. Jesus has reached out to you at Christmas time. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.